Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus and his willingness to come down and to first take up residence in a manger. Lord, we thank you that you come down and take up residence here in this place and in our hearts as well, and in the bread and in the wine, that you might be the God who is with us and the God who is for us. Lord, as we transition from this season of expectation of your glorious second advent, Lord, we begin to turn our attention to the first and to understand and to realize the significance, the purpose, and the impact of our Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, becoming man and taking on a body for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I knew a man who had three wonderful daughters. And this man never, as a father, really came to understand the importance and the significance for being present in his daughter's lives. It's kind of tragic. It's kind of sad. I think back to his first daughter's confirmation. He was not in attendance. And that's hard, particularly for a pastor to try to understand that when your child has done something as significant as making it through confirmation, that you wouldn't be present to encourage and support your daughter. But rest assured, he told his daughter, "Don't worry, I was there in spirit." Then, if that weren't enough, it was time for his second daughter's confirmation. And believe it or not, he was absent from that also. And it probably won't surprise you, he said the same thing. "Don't worry, honey, I am there with you in what? Spirit." Well, I guess he wanted to outdo himself. And when the third daughter graduated from high school, he was not there. And he said, as you might well expect by now, "Honey, I was there for you in spirit." I can assure you that his daughters wanted their father more than just in spirit. They wanted him in body, in spirit, to be present. And it probably wouldn't surprise you that I had a lot of counseling with this family and pastoral care circling around this family and speaking to these girls, and these girls would also see their dad would later lavish these extravagant gifts upon them. And he never quite realized that no matter how extravagant the gift, it wasn't going to replace or heal the wounds of his being absent in their life at critical moments. The fact of the matter is, some things aren't the same when you're simply there in spirit. Now, as we turn our attention to our reading from Hebrews, we see the author of Hebrews make a few things off the bat really clear to you and me. And the first thing is that no sacrifice in the Old Testament was really sufficient to remove and take away the stain of sin. Nor was that sacrifice able to impute any sort of holiness on the Hebrew people. Second, we see how these Old Testament sacrifices were anything but sufficient and only a shadow and only a pointer to something greater, because one could offer a sacrifice for their sin before God, but they would have to offer that sacrifice again and again and again, because no one single sacrifice was all sufficient. No one sacrifice accomplished all that the sinner needed it to accomplish. And the third thing that the author of Hebrews helps us to see today is that it would take a body and blood in order to provide the sacrifice that would be sufficient for all people. This body would need blood, because no sin is forgiven without the shedding of blood. Today we get ready to turn our attention to the birth of our Savior, and one of the things that all of us needs to realize is that the second person of the Trinity is obedient unto incarnation. We always want to say obedient unto death, which he is, but we have to first begin with he is obedient unto incarnation, a willingness to leave the throne room of heaven and to take on flesh, that he might be present in the world, not just in spirit as he has always been, but also in what? Body. Infleshed is how our Savior Jesus comes into the world. And this, brothers and sisters, is the inauguration of a new era. It's a new era where through this person, Jesus, through his life, through his body, and through his blood, new realities will become available to all humanity that were never available to them before. This second person of the Trinity would be the God who doesn't offer salvation from a distance, but offers it from a nearness and a coming into the world to redeem the creatures and to become a creature that we might live in a new and different way. When Christ becomes incarnate, he does it so that he might fulfill and do and obey in a way that no one in history of the world or scriptures has ever done. Live a life of perfect obedience. And then with a servant heart, have a willingness to extend that obedience to another. But before we jump to that moment, it's important for you to realize, brothers and sisters, that your God and your Savior became man. It's the very first piece of the good news of the gospel, is he becomes man. Your God and Savior walked on the earth where people before him had walked. Your Lord and Savior said words that other people had said before. Your Savior heard the birds sing their song that he put in their heart, just as you and I can hear a bird sing the song that its maker has put on its heart. How many of you have ever been to Israel before? Anyone? Anyone? Few people? Well, if you've been to Israel, it's kind of amazing to think that the firmament that held the feet of your Savior and God Jesus will hold yours up too. The things that your eyes see when you're there are things that your Lord Jesus saw in his body. The River Jordan that Jesus himself entered into that he might be baptized to receive on himself the sins of all humanity, yours and mine alike. That very same river and water you yourself can step into also. Now, if you do that, though, I don't encourage you to be baptized a second time. Your first one took, okay? For most of you. I did always threaten my daughter that you're going to be baptized a second time. You could go to Jerusalem and you could see the very stones that were the foundation of the temple to which his body were placed. Pastor Bray told the children and told us that this old has come to an end, that the new might emerge. And this Jesus who was obedient unto incarnation, this Jesus who John 1 tells us tabernacled among us and dwelt in our midst, this Jesus who enters the world to do one thing and one thing only, which is to fulfill the will of his Father in daily life, in all thoughts, in all actions, and in the whole Trinity's salvific plan. It would be him who would also be obedient unto death on the cross, because on the altar of the cross, the sacrifice that would be all sufficient was offered. The sacrifice that could remove the stain of sin was offered. The sacrifice that the Father would be pleased with, contrary to those he said he was not pleased with, would be offered. And from that cross, a holiness would also be given, wrapped around you and me, just as a cloak covers someone, so does the perfect life and obedience of Christ cover you and cover me. And Jesus could have saved in any way, but he saved by becoming body and spirit in our midst. And he comes today in the sacrament of this altar, not in spirit only, but he tells us he is present in body also. Why? For you. For me. That we might be forgiven, that we might have and receive a cleansing that his blood delivers to you and to me individually through this meal. You know, online services are good when you can't make it, but I'll tell you this, nothing replaces being present where he makes himself present for you. Where he gives you the body that he gave the world on the cross, where he gives you the blood that he shed on the cross, in with and under the bread of the wine. And it's my hope that as our family together here at OSL, that it would always be said of us something along these lines. Wherever this sacrament is on this altar, wherever Jesus makes himself present for us, there I will be present also in spirit and in what? Body. Because you can't receive this gift and this body only in spirit. but it touches your spirit when it enters through your body. And not only did our Lord Jesus go into that tomb dead, but he also shows us, doesn't he, at Easter, that he is the first installment of the resurrection of the dead for you and for me. And here we are, December 22nd, 2024, stuck between the first advent of our Lord Jesus and the second advent of his glorious return at the resurrection of the dead, when he will come back in body to usher in this new era of eternity and salvation, where you and I, resurrected and glorified in our bodies, will walk with him and he with us. Where he will speak words to us and our fleshly ears will hear him and speak words back to him. Where he will sit at a table, we will sit at a table. Where he will eat and we will eat. And there we will be together in body and spirit forever. As will be all of those who have left their earthly body in death and whose soul has been with the Lord, will return, will be resurrected, and will be enfleshed with us and our Savior. This is the hope. This is the significance. This is the meaning of Christmas. That he is born to be in the body for you and for me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, some of us in this room have celebrated more Christmases than others. But Lord, no matter how many Christmases it's been, help us to not get lost in the mystery that is revealed at Christmas. The unseen God becomes seen. The hidden God becomes revealed. The mystery of salvation and heaven opening up to sinners like us is no longer cloaked in darkness or mystery, but now is revealed through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And Lord, ever since he has entered into this world, his light has shone, and his light will only get brighter and brighter and brighter as it prepares for his second coming. So Lord, may your Spirit, may this sacrament prepare our hearts and our minds for your return. May we be washed clean. May we be covered in your holiness. May we be ready to inherit a new era, a new heaven and a new earth, similar to this world, but in many ways drastically different in the best of ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.